This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The U.S. Supreme Court is taking up two potentially precedent-setting cases involving gay marriage this week. One of them involves the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, but the other one, which Georgia is probably watching very closely, involves California's Proposition 8, which outlawed gay marriage. Georgia has a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Robert Shapiro is a professor in the Emory University School of Law. He's the dean and the Asa Griggs Candler Professor of Law. Professor Shapiro, welcome. Good to have you.
Happy to be with you.
Let's suppose, and again, this is jumping out a little bit, but the Supreme Court will hear the case this week. It'll take quite a while to rule. But once it rules, should it throw out Proposition 8, does that automatically mean that it says to all the other states, including Georgia, you cannot have either an initiative like California or a constitutional amendment like Georgia banning gay marriage?
Not necessarily. It would all depend on the grounds on which the Supreme Court decides the case. That is, what theory it uses to strike down Proposition 8. The Supreme Court could decide that the United States Constitution guarantees a right to gay marriage absolutely. And that would apply in Georgia, and that would mean that Georgia would be required to allow same-sex marriages. However, the Supreme Court could decide the case on narrower grounds. For example, it could decide that when a state allows civil unions, then it must require same-sex marriage as a matter of equal protection.
And Georgia has no civil unions provision, so it wouldn't, that decision wouldn't apply to Georgia, I take it.
Exactly. That decision would apply to, I think, about eight states that don't currently allow same-sex marriage, but do allow civil unions. And in fact, the theory advanced by the Obama administration in its brief before the United States Supreme Court suggested that theory, a theory that would seem to require same-sex marriage only in those states that did allow civil unions.
So it all depends, again, if the court decides to throw out any part of Proposition 8, it all depends on how far they want to go in interpreting the Constitution. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And there really is a very broad spectrum. There could be a theory that actually just says that California can't ban gay marriage because of the particular way in which Proposition 8 was framed in the political system of California. That would be the narrow ruling throwing out Proposition 8. And again, it could be quite a broad ruling mandating same-sex marriage throughout the United States. It all depends, and we'll probably have to wait till about the end of June to find out.
Now, states, including Georgia, have always been given a lot of latitude by the federal courts in their marriage laws, but there is some precedent here. States in the South that had laws banning interracial marriage, those laws were eventually tossed. So is there at least some precedent for the feds getting involved in what states do regarding marriage?
Well, absolutely. And those cases involving so-called anti-miscegenation laws were very much relied on by the plaintiffs in this case. In fact, the plaintiff said, yes, marriage is usually a question for each state, but when it comes to fundamental guarantees of equality, then that's really a right of national citizenship guaranteed throughout the United States. So if you view a ban on same-sex marriage like a ban on interracial marriage, that would suggest one national solution, which would be to allow it.
And that then would raise the question of whether the court looks at same-sex relationships in the same way it looks at racial civil rights. And has this court given us any indication as to whether it is likely to extend that kind of protection that it gives racial minorities to minorities based on sexual preference?
Well, in some previous cases, the court has suggested that some kinds of discrimination against gays and lesbians could be viewed as a kind of irrational animus just based on prejudice. And the Supreme Court has suggested that the government can't make decisions based on that kind of prejudice. On the other hand, those were just a few cases, and we really don't know how broadly that principle would apply and whether it would apply as broadly as the court has applied similar concepts in the context of race.
So the bottom line is we don't have too many tea leaves to read.
That's exactly right. A broad range of things that the court could do, ranging from deciding that they don't have jurisdiction to hear the case because of the particular procedural posture in which the issue is presented, all the way to deciding that there is a right to same-sex marriage throughout the United States. It's unusual that there is such a broad range of possible outcomes from a particular case, and that's why all eyes will be on the Supreme Court when it hears this case and when it decides it later this spring.
Has the court in other cases involving areas that are traditionally given to states, has it intervened very much before?
Well, traditionally, there were many areas that were left to the states, particularly matters involving family law, which would include things like marriage or adoption or situations like that. However, when the court has defined an issue as a matter of civil rights, that is, a matter that's about equality based on race or based on gender, the court has been willing to intervene and say that even though matters may be fundamentally matters for the state to take care of, when it comes to discrimination, then that does rise to a national matter. As that was true with regard to race, it's been true with regard to gender. And that's really the question, is how the court understands this case, whether it understands it as a marriage case where there's been traditionally a great deal of deference to the states, or whether it really views it as a matter of fundamental rights to equality in the United States. And in those instances, there really has been a strong role for the federal government and for the United States Supreme Court to intervene.
This may seem like splitting legal hairs, but sometimes big decisions are made on that ground. California's proposition was something that the voters decided on. Georgia's constitutional amendment was something that the lawmakers decided on and then was ratified by the voters. Is it possible that the court could issue a decision that only applies to popular initiatives but not to constitutional amendments?
Sometimes the court's decisions take account of the local political process, although it tends not to be a distinction between what the legislature does and what's done by direct democracy. In general, as far as the United States Supreme Court is concerned, a state can make its laws the way it wants to, whether it's by popular initiative or legislation or by constitutional amendment. Now, what is different about California was that there was a court decision that said there was a constitutional right as under the state constitution to same-sex marriage in California, which was then overridden by a popular initiative amending the California Constitution. And in fact, one theory in the case is that why would people ban gay marriage in that situation, that must be based on a kind of irrational animus. So there's one theory that's very particular to California, but in general, the court is not too concerned with a particular mechanism by which a state makes its laws.
And in Georgia, of course, the Constitution was written to ban gay marriage, so that argument wouldn't apply here.
Exactly. Here, it's not the case that a court has ever said, or anybody has ever said, that there's a constitutional right to same-sex marriage.
Robert Shapiro is dean and Asa Griggs Candler Professor of Law at the Emory University School of Law. Professor Shapiro, thanks so much for being with us once again. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.